Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Yevama Islamid Beis. We are starting right at the Mishnah, which is 9 lines from the top of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Achen, you have two brothers, Nesuin Shtei Achayis, who are married to two sisters, Reuben to Rachel, Shimon to Leah. Umeis Echad Mehen. Reuben, Rachel's husband, passes away. Now, Shimon, although he's a potential Yavam, cannot do Yivam to Rachel due to the fact that she is his relative. She is his wife's sister, Achos Isha. Right? Because he's married to Leah, Rachel's sister. What happened next? Shimon's own wife, Leah, passes away, which technically enables him to marry Rachel. She's no longer his living wife's sister. Can he proceed and marry Rachel? No. Harizu asur olav elamis. She is asur on him forever. Hayolav enestra olav shachas. Due to the fact that when she became available for Yibum, at the point of Reuben, Rachel's husband's death, when she presented herself to Yibum, she was unable to marry Shimon. She was incompatible with Shimon. She was Shimon's wife's sister. So although that situation changed, it does not affect, it does not benefit Rachel, it does not change her status. Once Asur, always Asur. Pshita, of course, it's obvious. Didn't we already discuss this halacha way back on Daf Lamed? And in fact, that Mishnah was even a greater chiddush than this one. You see, over there we had three brothers. Reuben, Shimon were married to sisters, and Levi was married to a stranger. He wasn't part of that sisterhood arrangement. And the Mishnah tells us, when Reuben dies, leaving behind his wife Rachel, and at that point Shimon, of course, cannot approach Rachel because at that point she is Shimon's wife, Leah's sister, right? His Achos Isha. Although that may have changed later on, it doesn't really help Shimon. Because once Asur, always Asur. So even if Shimon's wife passes on, later on it doesn't matter. And there we're speaking that there was another brother on the scene. There was Levi, who had no issue being Miyabim Rachel. Right? So it's actually a better case, because at the time of Rachel's Nefila, she was able to be Misyabim, although not to Shimon, but she was available to Levi. Still, we say that since Shimon could not approach Rachel, since he was Asur at that point, even if later on his situation changes, it stays Asur. And therefore asks the Gemara, look, you've already told me this halacha of ne'esra sha'achas. You've already told me this. And you've even illustrated it in a greater chiddush type of situation where there are three brothers and the Isha Rachel is going to get married to Levi. Still, once she is Asur on Shimon, it stays Asur on Shimon forever. So certainly in our case, where all you have is Reuben and his brother Shimon, there's no other alternative. When Shimon can't be Miyabim, at that point she is sort of Yibum disabled. There's nobody there to take her. So of course in this case, the din Isser that applies to her on account of being Shimon's wife's sister will stick forever. Pshita, of course. Even in the first case, in the previous illustration, back on the Flamid, where there are three brothers, and Rachel, although she can't marry Shimon, but she's not been pushed away entirely from this household, she can have Yibum done to her through Levi. Amris, lo, you still tell me, well, no, she's off limits for Shimon. In this case, where when Shimon can't approach her, she's totally pushed aside from this household. She can't be addressed by anybody here. There's nobody here to be Miyabim her. Of course, that stigma, that status should stick. Like Koshkin, isn't it obvious that it would stick? So why do you need both cases? And once you have the first, of course, you don't need the second. Answers the Gemara. Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah, ha, Tana Barish. Actually, first he learned and presented this most recent case where you have only two brothers. In this case, since at the point of her nefilah she is unable to have yibum, that iser stays forever. That was the first halacha that he learned and taught. V'ach chazi l'teirah. Actually, the other case where there are three brothers, it appeared to the Tana that it would be mutter. So eventually, when Shimon turns around and becomes mutter to Rachel due to his wife's passing, he can maybe yabam her, because the fact is, Rachel was not precluded entirely from yibum. She was still yibum and able, to, although not to Shimon, to Levi. So she sticks, and she stays in the game. V'sharye, he figured it would be mutter, and he was moderate. V'hada chazi l'yisur, and then the Tana changes his mind, decides, you know, even that case appears to be asur. Once she's usher and Shimon at the initial point of nefilah, it stays. And because it was dear and precious to the Tana, the other halacha, which she arrived at through toil and effort, was more precious to him, and therefore he learned it first. He taught it first. Now once he taught that one, this most recent mission here is sort of superfluous. It's less of a chiddush. If you know that, of course, this, where there are only two brothers, and of course, when the Isser is applied to one of the brothers, who's the only potential Yavam, that Isser sticks. So why is there a need to even mention it? The answer is, a Mishnah lo yizazam im kaima. A Mishnah which was learned and taught, doesn't get deleted, stays right there, and therefore we don't tinker with it. The bottom line is, it's all really one and the same concept. If the Yavama is Asr on a certain brother at the point of her Nefila, that initial Isr sticks forever. Tana Rabbanan. So we have Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters. Reuven passes away, leaving behind Rachel, who is actually Shimon's brother's wife, right? So his sister-in-law on that account. And she's also Shimon's wife's sister. So she is Eshes Ach, his brother's former wife, his brother's widow, and also Achois Isha, sister of his living wife, Leah. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Bo'aleo, let's say Shimon lives with Rachel as married. What happens now? How many offenses did he commit? Chayev Aleo Mishum Eshes Ach, Umishum Achois Isha. He committed two wrongs, one Eshes Ach and one Achois Isha, Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, Einai Chayev Elo Mishum Eshes Ach Bovad. He's only guilty of being Oiver Eshes Ach. We don't add Achos Ish. It would seem that Rabbi Yosi holds two Isurim can sort of pile up. You can apply one Issa to the other. You can combine two separate Isurim as one. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's only one or the other. Which one? Eshes Ach, my brother's wife. That's this price. V'atanya, we have another price. So where Reb Shimon Omer, Eine chayev elo mishum achos isha uvad. It's one chiv, it's one isra, but you know which one? Wife's sister, achos isha. Which one is it? Achos isha or Eshes Ach? Answers the Gemara, depends how it happened. Depends on the sequence of events. Like Kasha, the answer is Kan shenasa chay. In the second brisa, where Reb Shimon says he's only guilty of Achos Isha, speaking where first, you know who married? Chai, the surviving brother. Shimon married Leah first, which makes Rachel, wherever she is, the unmarried Rachel, turns her into an Achos Isha. She's my sister's wife. So that Isser came first. And only afterwards the departed brother, this is a reference to Reuven, did he marry Rachel, which now turned Rachel into Eshes Ach. But that came second, and it's too late. Rachel has already been considered Achos Isha. So that's the first one in, that's the one that sort of fills her to capacity. She's saturated, she's considered Achos Isha, and she no longer has any place for any additional Yisurim to land on her and be applied to her. That's Reb Shimon's approach. Ein Isser Chalal Isser. You can't have one Isser apply to the other. So whichever one gets into the door first, that's the one that sticks. So in Braisa number 2, it's only Achais Isha because that's what happened first. First Shimon married Leah, turning Rachel into Achais Isha, and that's it. So even though she proceeded and married Shimon, Reuben, and she became Eishes Ach, that doesn't get added to the previous Isser, which fills it to capacity. Whereas in the first Braisa, we consider her Ach, Eishes Ach, that's speaking Kansha Nosa Meis. First Reuben married Rachel. She now turns to Shimon, she's considered to Shimon in Eishes Ach, so that's the first Issa through the door. And only then did Shimon marry Leah, which turned Rachel into Ach Eis Isha, but since she's already Usher on account of Eishes Ach, that's the only Issa that sticks. Asks the Gemara of Rab Shimon, according to him, Heichad Nosa Meis. V'achkech Nosa Chai. So in a case where Reuven married Rachel first, she is now considered Eishes Ach to Shimon. And only then did Shimon marry Leah. Kiv and the Issa Ach is Isha Leichai. Once you tell me that the Isser Eishes Ach prevents Ach is Isha from being applied, so all she's considered is Eishes Ach. This Yabim Yabumi, let her go to Yibim. She's a regular Yavama. She doesn't have the additional shame, the additional label of the Ereva of Achais Isha. There's no room for it. She's fully saturated. She's Eishes Ach. So when Reuben passes away, let Shimon be Miyabim her. Answers the Gemara Achap. Amar Vashi. We're not ignoring the fact that she's also his wife's sister. But there's no room for that to land. It's sort of hovering. It's sort of helicoptering and waiting to land. Isra Achais Isha mitla tali v'koy. The second Isra of Achais Isha is hovering over the Isha. It's waiting for a parking spot. Ipoka Isra Eishes Ach. So the parking spot is filled with the Isra Eishes Ach. Now once you're going to back out of that spot, come a Yibum situation, you'll tell me, well, Isra Eishes Ach moves out of the way. That is the essence of Yibum, right? So once you pull out of the spot and you make room for the other one to land, also Isach is Isha v'chayel. The second Isach, Isha will come and land. And of course, that's going to get into the way of Yibum. She's never vilkach le'paka. Therefore, that prevents the Isha of Isha Sach from leaving its spot at all, from vacating its position, because in any case, it's not going to end up being an ordinary Yavama. She'll become Asher Alts on account of Achais Isha. So everything stays in place. Interesting, gosh, right? So if we just reckon with the first Issa, in this case it's Eishes Ach, let her go to Yibam. The answer is because once she'll lose the Issa of Eishes Ach on account of Yibam, suddenly the other one lands. So in any case, she'll never be Yibam enabled. So at this point, we figure that Rabbi Yossi holds Isur Chalal Isur. So in a case when she's both Eishes Ach and Eishes Isha, one who is over with her will have to bring two karbanis, two chatois. Because we hold of Isur Chalal Isur. Is that so? V'sav Rabbi Yossi, Isur Chalal Isur. One Isur can apply to the other. But Tanya, listen to this price. Avar Avera Sheish Bar Shtei Mises. A fellow did an Avera, which entails two ancient, two Mises Bezen. Rashi says, let's say, Chamoisai, a mother-in-law who happens to be an Eishes Ish. Now the Oynish for Chamoisai is Shreifa, death by burning. Eishes Ish is Chanek, a lighter form of death. So let's say he lived with an Isha as married. She happened to be also Chamoisi and also an Eishes Ish. Nidan b'chamura. So we apply the more severe form of punishment, and she says this is Sreifa. Rabbi Yossi, Amar, no, not necessarily. Sometimes he can get the lighter punishment if it came first. Nidan b'zikar Rishayna haba alav. We apply the einish that's related to the first Isser that arrived first. What does that mean? V'tanya, we explain as follows. Kate and Amar Rabbi Yossi, Nidon Bezikah Harishon Haba Olav, we apply the first Isser that arrived. Chamoise, let's say she first was his mother-in-law. V'nas is Eishes Ish, and then she got married. So this woman was his mother-in-law, and when he married her daughter, Rashi says, she was not yet, she was not married anymore. The mother-in-law was an almana, she was a widow. So Chamoisai arrived first. Right? And then Venasa says, Eshesish. Then she remarried. She acquired a new title, a new label. She became an Eshesish. So this fellow who doesn't have error with her is guilty of both offenses, but Nidan b'chamoisai, which Einish is applied, the Sreif on account of Chamoisai, because that was the first one in the ring. Now Tosis points out that all agree in this case that he gets Sreifa, because regardless, that's the most severe punishment. Okay, so that's Pashut. Here comes the Chiddush of Rabbi Yossi. We apply this formula even if it results in a Kula. Eishas Ish, Venasas Chamoisai. Let's say this woman was first Eishas Ish. And then she turned into his mother-in-law. Right? So she was married, and then this fellow married her daughter. So she acquired a new label. On top of being Eishas Ish, she became his mother-in-law. Eishas Ish carries a chenek, a more lenient punishment. Chamoisai carries Sreifa, more severe. So which one is he guilty of? Which one will be applied? The Nidoyim Eishas Ish, he gets the more lenient form of Einish, the one that pertains to an Eishas Ish. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi explains, it's the first Isser that we're interested in. In this case, the Eishas Ish arrived first. She's saturated with that Isser. There's no room for more. As far as this fellow is concerned, he's only guilty of Eishas Ish and not Chamoisai. Clearly, Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to the concept of one Isser being applied to the other. So why is it that by us, in the case of the Isha having two labels, Eishas Ach and Achois Isha, Rabbi Yossi says he is chayv on account of both. Amar Bavo, although typically, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, here it's different. We have some exceptions to that rule. Moid Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi agrees, be Isser Moisif. When the second Isser, although it arrived second, will actually enhance and add to the first Isser. So within this object, within this item, the Isser will get enhanced on account of the second event, on account of the second reason. So perhaps let's take a look at Rashi, who will explain this for us. It says Rashi on top, Omar Rabbi Avo, Moed Rabbi Yossi, B'Isser Moisif. Now what are we trying to answer? What problem and concern are we trying to address? We had a kasha. We had Reuben and Shimon married to two sisters. Reuben to Rachel, Shimon to Leah. Now, Shimon has two reasons to keep away from Rachel. A, Achos Isha, he's his wife, Leah's sister. And two, he's his brother's wife. She's his brother's wife, Eishas Ach. Rabbi Yossi seems to say that this fellow is guilty of two offenses if he interacts with Rachel. And the question is why? One, she's Asr on account of, let's say, being his sister-in-law, on account of being his wife's sister, right? Say, Shimon married Leah first, Rachel turned into his wife's sister. Once she has that Isser, she's saturated. There's no more room for more Isserim. So then when his brother Reuben marries Leah, and marries Rachel, you can't say, well, another Isser was introduced. Aside from Rachel being Shimon's wife's Leah's sister, she is also his brother's wife. There's no room for that. We're trying to answer that question. Says Rashi, Omer Avo, Moed Rabbi Yossi B'Isser Moisif. At times, the second Isser will land. B'Isser Moisif Shu Chal Al Isser. Keep going. Isser Eishas Ach. The Moisifu. The second Isser, the Isser Eishas Ach, actually is called Moisif. What does that mean? Shebetchilo kishenasa zes achos, initially when Shimon married Leah, vizu pnuya, and at that point Rachel was unmarried, nesra alav, mishim achos isha. At that point, she became osur on Shimon on account of being his wife's sister. Umeteres l'chol echa, but she's still mutter to Reuven, to Levi, to Yehuda, all of Shimon's brothers. No reason why not, right? So it was a very specific personal Isser between Shimon, who was married to Leah, between Shimon and Rachel, who was his wife's sister. Nisas le'echad mehem. But now, when Rachel marries one of these brothers, she marries Reuven, Ne'esru al kulon mishum ishes ach. Her iser, horizon, expands. She is now usher to all the other brothers. To Shimon, to Levi, to Yehuda, she is considered their ishes ach. A totally new phenomenon. A totally new realm has been introduced. Va'achshav ni'toisav isra leo legabi shar echav. So this Isha, this Rachel, the subject of our discussion, her Issa has now expanded. Has a far-reaching effect. She's now also not only on Shimon on account of being his wife's sister, she's also on to Levi, to Yehuda, to all the brothers on account of her having married Reuven. Umigu, listen to Rashi, because, since, Migu umigu dechayel shem eshes ach ala, legabe shar echav, since this next step, marrying Reuven, created an iser on her relative to the other brothers to whom she was mutter up until this point, so this event actually generated iser, applied iser to her with respect to other people. That iser took hold, took effect, and therefore it affects Shimon as well. You can't have two Isurim landing on you, but if the second Isur isn't specific to you, it includes other people. It's an expanded Isur, which will affect many other people. So once it is activated for them, it affects you as well. Even though you already had a pre-existing Isur with Rachel, she was your wife's sister, but no, now she gets a new title. She's been relabeled Eshes Ach, brother's wife, because that Isur took effect and was an effective Isser with respect to the other brothers who were mutter to her up until that point. And since it is chal for them, it is chal for him. Chal nami Hashem hazeh legabe didei, va'af agav da asir alei v'kaim, even though Rachel had a history with Shimon, she was already asir to him on account of the other Isser that came first. But once the second Isser arrives with respect to the other brothers, it affects Shimon as well, and now he is guilty of two offenses. There are two Isurim between himself and Rachel, wife's sister and brother's wife. So in a case, again, in a case where Shimon married Leah first, Rachel turned into wife's sister, Achris Isha, number one, and then she married Reuven, which generated a broader Isur with respect to the other brothers, to Levi, to Yehuda, to Yisachar, who may not involve themselves with Rachel because to them she is an Eshes Ach, brother's wife. Chiddush is, this Issa will now be applied to Shimon as well, and he will end up with two Isurim with Rachel. Aval, but in the other way, Aval Eshes Ish V'Nashes Chamoisei, but in a case where she was first, I'm getting back to the Brisa here with the Mises here, in a case where she was first Eshes Ish, right, and then she turned into his mother-in-law, you can't apply this formula. Mischila Haisa Asur L'Kala Olam. Initially, she was Asur to anybody because she's a married woman. Mishum Eshes Ish. And then Nasa Zez Bita, this fellow married her daughter, that Isser can't be added to the Isser Eshes Ish, which is all-encompassing. The next Isser is not something which can include other people. It's not an enhanced Isser. It's not an expanded Isser, the name of, in which case we can say, Migu de Chayel Alayu, since it applies to them, Lechol Namei Olay, the Hayel will apply to the son-in-law. You can't do that. But the other way around, the Chamoisei Venasis Eshes Ish. But if she was first his mother-in-law and then turned into an Eshes Ish, certainly you can apply this formula. Vada Yisr Maisifu. That's called Yisr Maisif. You know why? Shemetchila Asur Lazeh. Initially, when she was just his mother-in-law, it was a very specific personal Yisr between him and her. Umeteres L'Cha'ilam, which allowed her to marry other people. Then what happened? Nasis Eshes Ish. She turned into a married woman. Itoisav Hayshem Alel Gabi Kuliyama. She gets a brand new expanded Isser on account of everybody who's Asur in her. And since it's activated for them, it applies to him too. Umigu de Chayel Alayu. Since it applies to them, Chayel Nami Gabi Dehai, it applies to him as well. So Rashi is explaining how this formula is compatible with the Brice that we just learned. Raisa says, if she starts off as an Eishes Ish and then she turns into his mother-in-law, he's only guilty of Eishes Ish. Why? So Rashi says, because Eishes Ish is an all-encompassing Isser. It applies to all people in the world. So even then, when he marries her daughter and she turns into Chamoisa, no, Chamoisa has no room to land, because Eishes Ish is an end-all Isser. Chamoisa won't really add anything with respect to her and other people, and therefore I can't add anything to her with respect to himself too. Therefore we treat her like an Eishes Ish. Okay, that explains that price. But bottom line is, getting back to our suit. Sister-in-law, brother's wife. Now we can understand what happened here. If she was first his wife's sister, and then she married his brother as well, which resulted in creating a brand new expanded Isser with respect to the other brothers who can no longer relate to her because she is their brother's wife. So that event has an effect on Shimon as well, and she now has two Isserim to him. Asks the Gemara on the top line, Tenach, that explains that case that you described. When Shimon married Leah first, in which case Rachel turns into his wife's sister, and then Reuven married Rachel. Sure, it works. Migudi toisaf isur legabi acham, since that second event, marrying Reuven, enhances the isur, expands the isur to the other brothers in the family. Itoisaf isur legabi dudei. It will affect an isur to Shimon as well. He's also included in the isur. It's now a broad and expanded isur for everybody and him as well. Well, let's say it happened the other way around. Right? We were discussing two possibilities of what happened. Shimon marrying first. Okay, that works. But let's say Reuven married first. He married Rachel first, in which case Rachel is now also to all brothers equally because she is their brother's wife. And then, and only then, did Shimon marry Leah. My Yisr Moisef Ika. How can you apply the concept of Yisr Moisef? There was no new Yisr that arrived that affected anybody else except for him. When Rachel married Reuven, she was all the brothers' Eishes Ach, right? She was also to all his brothers because she's their brother's wife. Now when Shimon married Leah, Rachel's sister, Rachel's trying to become his wife's sister, right? We're trying to add that Isser. That's not an Isser Moisef. That's a very specific, personal Isser between him and her. So in that situation, why does Rabbi Yossi consider her a double Isser? The Chitim, perhaps you'll say, here as well it's going to work. Why? Migo de Itzer Bekula Achvasa will apply the concept of Koilel, not Moisef. Moisef is where there's a new expanded Isser applied to the item itself, like the Isha is considered the subject of the Isser. And in the case of the Moisef that we just explained, she acquired a new Isser to the other brothers, and therefore, on account of that, it includes him as well. Okay, but in this case, that wouldn't apply. But perhaps a different formula can be applied, called Koilel. So again, what happened was, Reuven married Rachel. Rachel is now an Eishes Ach to all the brothers in the family. All-inclusive Isser. And then Shimon marries Leah. So we want a new Isser to arrive. Achois Isser should be applied. Why? Migud Itzer Bekula Achvasa. Because this most recent event of marrying Leah actually generated a new Isser. Between whom and whom? Between Shimon and all of Leah's sisters. Right, so there was another aspect of the Isser that arrived that wasn't there before. So perhaps his marriage to Leah can add an Isser on Rachel. Why? Again, because the marriage to Leah did create new Isserim between himself, between Shimon, and the other sisters. Leah's sisters. So perhaps it should include Rachel as well. Since it affects the other sisters, Sarah and Bilhah and Zilpah, all of Leah's sisters, perhaps we'll just include Rachel as well. Does that work? So again, you can't apply a double issur on the same person, but if that issur is an expanded issur that includes other people as well, that affects others, perhaps it can include that first party as well. And in this case, by marrying Leah, he becomes Asur on Sarah and Bilhah, all of Leah's other sisters, perhaps it's going to apply an Isser and include Rachel into that Isser as well, although she already has a pre-existing Isser on account of being his brother's wife. Hi Isser Koilavu. That's not called Isser Moisif. It's called Isser Koilah. It's a different realm. And that doesn't work. Now, it might be very nice to see the Rashi here. A short Rashi, which where he illustrates the difference between Isser Moisev and Isser Koilo. That's around two-thirds down the Amud. I'll say it's around 15 lines before the Rashi widens. It's a very short Rashi. Isser Moisev. He explains Isser Moisev and Isser Koilo. What is the fundamental difference between both of these terms? Isser Moisev, says Rashi, is kisho Isser Moisev ala chaticha lo isra al misha materis olav. Moisev means the second Isser will actually expand, enhance, add Isser to this chaticha, this item. The Isha, in our context, that's the subject of the Isser. So the man may not engage with the woman. She's become the cheftza, the chaticha, the Isser. So if the second event adds, expands Isser to this chaticha, then it affects everybody. So this refers to the first case we discussed. Shimon married Leah first, which resulted in Rachel being his wife's sister. That's one Isser, a personal Isser. And then when Rachel went on to marry Reuven, became Isser Moisev, because many, many more people were included in the Isser on this Chaticha. Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, they all became Usser on Rachel on account of Reuven's marriage to her, because she is now their brother's wife. And once that happens, it can affect Shimon as well, even though he had a pre-existing Isser with this Chaticha, with Rachel. But Koilel means, Isser Koilel means, Sheisro chal al chaticha is acheris. It's not that the chaticha, the isra, the isha that we're dealing with, her isra expanded and applies to more people, and therefore can include everybody, can include even the initial fellow who was already usher in her. No, isra koil means totally different. It means that the new event, the new reason, the new isra is a catalyst to include other chatiches, in this case, other women, will be affected by this most recent event. And you want to say, well, on account of the other women that got affected by the most recent event, we should also include this Isha. That's a chiddush. We're going to drag this one together with the other women and say, just like the event will affect other items, it's going to affect this one as well. That we don't say. What's an illustration of that? The most recent discussion we had. We had Reuven marrying Rachel first, who now becomes Eshes Ach to all the brothers in the family. And then Shimon goes and marries Rachel's sister Leah. So you want to suggest that Rachel gets another Isser, which Isser, Achois Isha. What do you mean? She's already Isser. Eshes Ach. Isser Koil. Because by marrying Leah, Shimon is now Asur on Sarah, Bilhah, Zilpah, all of Leah's sisters. All the other Chatichas become Asur, and perhaps we'll drag Rachel along and say, well, we'll include her in the Isra as well. That you don't do. So we're stuck. Why does Reb Shimon apply one Isra on top of the other in this case? Elam Arava, says the Gemara, you're right. When it comes to Einish, when it comes to penalizing him, he will not get a double punishment. Mala ani olav, I consider him kilu asar shtaim, as though he did two isurim, but really ve'ena chayv al achas, he's only guilty of one. V'chenki asar raven, he said in name of Rav Yochanan, mal ani olav kilu asar shtaim, I consider him as though he did two isurim ve'ena chayv al achas, but of course he's only liable for one. So my askavina, what's the point of speaking about the fact that he did two? L'kavre ben rishayim gemurim, as Rashi brings based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, we're careful how we bury somebody, a rasha near a rasha, a tzaddik near a tzaddik, and this fellow who transgressed many Yisurim, so although when it comes to punishing him, we can't apply more than one, but we put him with the Rishayim, because in fact he did two Yisurim. Ubi plukta. This question of whether a fellow who committed two Yisurim, but is only liable to one, he's going to be buried, Bein Rishayim Gemurim, and this is actually the Machlekes, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Yossi says, we put him with the severe Rishayim, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, no, no. We only deal with one Isser at a time. The Mepharshim say that, Tosfos points this out, other Mepharshim explain that everybody agrees that bottom line is he did two Isurim. You can't be Mechayiv him for more than one, but he did two things. Therefore, Rashi says, look, put him with the Rishayim. Put him with the Rishayim of his ilk, his type. But Rav Shimon says, look, the fact is you can only punish him for one thing. And as the Mepharshim explained, the fact is burying him with the Rosh is also a form of punishment. Interesting. Being kayev in him near Rishayim is a tsar for him, for his nefesh. And therefore, he says, if the halacha doesn't allow punishing for more than one transgression, you don't say Isser Chalal Isser, so you can't punish him, even when it comes to burying him with Rishayim, Gemurim, Rishayim of his type. Uiplukta, the machlokes that we had over here, and the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yossi, we place him with Rishayim, Gemurim, is actually machlokes. There's a machlokes as to what Rabbi Yossi really holds. In this case, would he be buried by Rishayim Gemurim or not? The Itmar is relying. Zor Sheshimesh B'Shabbos. So we're now on the Beis HaMikdash, where we may do Avodah, even though it involves Malacha, you can do so even on Shabbos, based on the Pasuk. It says, B'moy Adah, you meant to bring the Karbanos in the right time, even on Shabbos. Problem is, he's not a Kohen. He's a Zor. He's a foreigner. He's a Yisrael. So certainly he's guilty of doing Avodah in a state of Zarus, in a state of being a Zar. That's for sure. The question is he chayv on account of Shabbos? Zar sheshimesh b'Shabbos. Rabbi Chiya Aymer, chayv shtayim. He's guilty on both accounts. Number one, he's a Zar that does Avodah. Number two, who asked him to do the melachas associated with Avodah on Shabbos? It's only meant for a kohen, not for him. Bar Kapora Aymer, no, ein chayv ala achas. He's only all responsible for the Zor aspect, but not for the Malacha aspect. Kofetz Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya jumped up, so to speak, v'nishpan, he swore in the name of Ha'avoida, the name of the Karbonis, the Lashon of Shvuah, Kach Shamatim Rebbe. Rebbe HaKadosh taught me Shtayim. He's Chayv too. Kofetz Bar Kapara, likewise jumped up, v'nishpan, he said, Ha'avoida, I swear, Kach Shamatim Rebbe Achas. Rebbe actually taught us there's only Chayv one. So they began a debate. Here's what Rebbe Chiya Lodim. Rav Chiya started presenting his argument for Chayiv Shtayim. Shabbos l'kol nesra. We know that initially, one may not do. There is an Isser of Malach on Shabbos for all. Based on Migdash or not. Kishu hutru b'migdash. When the Torah was matter, avoiding the Migdash even on Shabbos, it's a Kohanim hutru. Relative to Kehanim. Look, Kehanim hutru. It's only hetter for Kehanim. Well, the Zarma doesn't apply to a Zar, so when he does Malach on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, he's Chayiv on account of Shabbos too. Yesh kan mishum zaris, yesh kan mishum Shabbos. He's chayv on account of being a zara, and did avoida, and on account of chilul Shabbos. Here's Chabak Kapara Lodin. Bakapara began to present his statement, his argument. Shabbos l'kol nesra. Initially, Shabbos was a universalism. Kisha hutra v'migdash. When it became mutter in the Migdash, hutra became mutter, a blanket heter for anybody engaging in avoida. So although he's not meant to do avoida, but you can't hold him accountable. Fact is, avoida related to karbonis and the Migdash are mutar on Shabbos. And therefore, ein kan elo zoros, he's only chayv on account of zoros. This is one example of machlokes. Zor on Shabbos, two or one. We're going to have three machlokes. Here comes number two. Baal mum shishin mesh betumah, during a weekday. He's a kain. Problem is, he has a blemish, a baal mum, unfit for avoida, and he happens to be tummy. Typically, when we bring a carbon tzibur b'tumah, but he's a baal mum. He's not meant to do an avoid. So what happens now? Certainly he's chayev for being a tummy and doing the avoid. What about, certainly he's chayev on account of a baal mum. He's not meant to do avoid if he's a baal mum. Is he guilty for doing avoid b'tumah? Machlokes, Rav Chiya Omer chayev shtayim, he's chayev two, Bar Kapara Omer and chayev la'achas, only one. Kavat Rav Chiya v'nishpo, he jumped up and he swore, avoid kach shamati mi Rebbe, Shtayim is chayv on account of both. Baal momentum. Kafatz Baal Kapara, Benishbani said Havoida. Kach Shamati, Rabbi, I heard from Rabbi Achas, only Chayiv one. They started the debate. His Chil Rabbi Yechiel Lod, and he began to present as follows. Tumma Lakol Master. Typically, one may not bring any Avoida Batumma, whether a carbon tzibur or a carbon yachid. Kishahot Shabbat Migdash. When the Torah was matter, bringing a carbon tzibur Batumma in the Migdash, it's a kohanim tamim mutra. It only applies to a kohen who is suitable to do Avoida, a kohen tam. Lekihanam tamim mutra, only for them. V'loy lebali mumen, it wasn't allowed for bali mumen, therefore you have two isurim being done. Yesh kan mishum bali mumen, he's chayv on account of being a bali mumen doing avoida. Yesh kan mishum tumo, he's chayv on account of being tame. He gets double malchus. Heschel ba kapara lot, my kapara began as follows. Tumo lekol nesra. So tumo was a universal isur. Kshuhutra migdash, but one was mutter and higdash for the avoida. Hutra became mutter for all. So even though he's a bali mumen, I'm meant to do avoida. Fact is, avoida b'migdash is mutar b'tumah. Ein kan elam shem ba'amum. He's guilty of doing avoida as a ba'amum, but that's it. So in the second debate, we have the ba'amum bringing a carbon b'tumah. Is he chayv two or one? That's the machlekes. A third machlekes. Zar sh'ocha malika. So let's say the kain was malik. The bird, carbon, he removed the head using his nail. So it's a malika process, which is acceptable in the Mikdash. We consider it like a shechita, but it's not something, not a process applied to a non-carbon bird. Now a zar, a non-kohen, goes into the Mikdash and he partakes, he eats this bird that was nimlak. What happens now? So number one, he did wrong was the fact that he's a czar and ate a carbon. Is that it? Rav Chiya Imer Chayv Shtayim. He's guilty of two offenses. Bar Kapara Imer in Chayv Al-Ach. Only one. Explains the Gemara. Kavas Rav Chiya V'Nishpa Ha'avoida. I swear in the name of Hashem's Avoida. Kach Shamati Rebbe. I heard from Rebbe. Shtayim is Chayv on account of a czar who ate a carbon and on account of something else as well. What else? He ate a nevela, an improperly shechted bird. So a kohen can eat a bird shechted in this manner, but not a zar, not a yisrael. Chavetz bar kapara v'nishba. He says no. Havoida kach shemati mirabbi achas. He's only chayv on account of being a zar. His chod rabchiya lod rabchiya began to present his side of the debate. Nevela lakol nesra. Typically, a nevela, unshechted animal or bird, is usher to everybody. This type of so-called shechita is not really a proper shechita in a non-migdash, a non carbon context, right? So when Malika was mutter in the Migdash, it was a special exception, a special privilege for the Kehanim. Eitzel Kehanim Hutra. For Kehanim Hutra, only to them. But it was Zar, not for Yisrael, and therefore Yeshkan Misham Zaras. Number one, he did wrong was a Zar eating a carbon. Yeshkan Misham Malika, he ate a bird that was Nimlak, which is tame like a Nevela. So he's Chai because of a Zar and because of Nevela. So the same bird. To this fellow is mutter, because he's a kohen, and he's eating it in the context of a kohen eating a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash, and to the Yisrael, it's an avela. Unbelievable. Hischel b'kapar lod, and b'kapar began to present his side of the argument. The avela of the kol nesra. Sure, an avela is also to everybody. Because Yehudra of Migdash, but when it became mutter in the Migdash, by a bird that had malika, hutra became universally accepted and mutter to everybody. Ain kan elam shem zaras. So sure, he has no business eating a carbon, he's a zar. But that's it. He's not guilty of an avela. So we have a total of three machlokes between Rav Chiya and Bar Kapara. Is it two or is it one? But Ma'akim Ifli, what's the real point and essence of their discussion? What does it revolve around? So although there was some discussion back and forth, but as the Mefarshim point out, that wasn't the ikar point of contention. What then is it? But Ma'akim Ifli, Be'isr Kailel V'aliv Darab Yaisi. Here's another example of Isr Kailel. As we explained before, Isser Koilel is when the second Isser comes to include other items, and we want to drag this one along and have that second Isser applied to that item as well, despite the fact that it has a pre-existing yisur. Valib the Rabbi Yisrael, following Rabbi Yisrael's shita. Question is how to interpret Rabbi Yisrael. Rabbi Chiya Savar, Rabbi Yisrael be yisur koyel machayev tart. Rabbi Chiya's opinion of Rabbi Yisrael is that he holds him liable on two accounts, and as we explained, we bury him with the Rishayim Gemurim, so although he doesn't get two punishments, but he's considered a Rasha to the extent that he's buried together with the higher level of Rishayim, with the Rishayim Gemurim. And that's what Rabbi Chiya meant when he said Chayiv Shtayim. Bar Kapara Savar Lo Mechayiv Al Achada, whereas Bar Kapara holds that even according to Rabbi Yisi, he's only guilty of one, and we bury him with the lesser Rishayim. Now how does this pertain to these three illustrations? Okay, Bezer Hashem to be continued tomorrow. Okay, before we go, let's just do a quick brief chazor of today's daf. So we have the concept of Esther. Once the Yevama becomes Aser to a specific brother, whether she's forbidden, she's prevented from doing Yibam at all because he's the only potential candidate, or perhaps even if there's somebody else there that can do Yibam, the fact is once she becomes Aser to this particular brother, even though that situation might change eventually, once Aser, always Aser. What about Isser Chal al Isser? Once something is Aser, can it tolerate, can it accept and absorb another Isser? The answer is no. In the case of Isser Moisef, we had a question, and Isser Koilo, again, the answer was no, but we have a question at a Machlekes regarding whether we bury him with Rishayim Gemurim on account of doing those two Isurim. And perhaps this would apply to Isser Moisef as well. And we concluded with the three examples of a double Isser, Machlekes between Bar Kapara or Pchia. First one was a Zor, a Yisrael who did Malacha for the Avodah in Beis Hamikdash, but it was on Shabbos. Is a Chayev for Zor and Shabbos, or only for Zor. We had a Kohen Balmum who did Avodah Betuma. He's Chayev because he's a Kohen Balmum, but is he also guilty of Avodah Betuma? And finally, a Zor who had the bird that had Malika, so he did something wrong because he's a Zor eating a carbon, no business eating a carbon, but is he over on account of Nevela? According to Rebchir, yes. According to Bar Kapara, no. And Bezos Hashem will conclude our discussion in tomorrow's daf. All the best to you and much, much Hatzlacha.